بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أراد الآخرة وسعى لها سعيها وهو مؤمن فأولئك كان سعيهم مشكورا. Once again in tonight's Taraweeh we heard such beautiful verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. Every verse, every word, every letter is a pearl. And because we have such limited time, it's impossible to even discuss the synopsis of what we have read. But in this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions whosoever desires akhirat. But the verse preceding this verse, Allah talks about man kana yuridul ajila. Whoever is seeking dunya, Allah says we will give the person the dunya whomsoever we wish to give. In other words, this person who is seeking dunya, he does not want akhirat. His whole aim, object, purpose is only the attainment of the dunya. So he only seeks and desires the dunya. He's got no belief in the akhirat, he does not want the akhirat. Allah says, we give him dunya. But eventually, what is his plight in the hereafter? We enter him into Jahannam in a very despicable manner. Allah save us. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ Whosoever seeks akhirat. All of us are waiting and seeking for akhirat. That is our maqsad, that is our purpose. Allah created us not for the dunya. Allah created us for the akhirat. Yes, the means of the dunya, we are expected to use these means of the dunya, whatever Allah has given us, but we should not lose focus of akhirat. And that should be our real desire of attaining the akhirat. وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا And then he makes an endeavor. What type of sacrifice and effort? Sa'yaha. That effort that he ought to make for the akhirat. Mufassirin mention, what is the meaning of that person who makes an effort for the akhirat? That effort which he ought to make is following the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we are seeking the akhirat, we are doing ibadat. Whatever we are doing in deen, it has to be in accordance with the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the meaning of sa'yaha. It's true endeavor. The true effort a person makes is when he follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Allah says, also he is a mu'min, wa huwa mu'min, in the condition that he is a believer. Of course, a believer is the one who seeks akhirat. In other words, he is focused on his iman, he makes an effort on his iman as well. And he seeks the akhirat by means of his ibadat, but following the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the only correct way. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا Allah says, such people's effort is well appreciated by me. Allah appreciates that little effort of ours, as long as it is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many injunctions, and he starts with the first one, that we should worship only him. Allah has ordained that you worship only him. You don't associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawheed, oneness of Allah. We don't make any shirk. Allah has got no partners. Allah has got no father. Allah has got no mother. Allah has got no wife. Allah has got no children. There is nobody equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is one and only. Immediately after that, in the same verse, just by adding a wow, and Allah says, and Allah has commanded you to be good and kind to your parents. And specifically when they are at old age, when they require your help and nusrat more. Of course, when they are young and you are a little baby, or when you are a child and as you are growing up, you still have to respect your parents, you still have to be kind to them. But they require your assistance and your ihsan more when they are old. And therefore Allah says, if either one of them or both of them attain old age whilst you are still living, and you should not address them by the word uff. In other words, don't rebuff them. Don't use any harsh, indecent, vulgar. Don't use any word, not even the two letter uff. Like how we say, Ahman. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا Don't scold them. They are old. They forget. You forget the days when you were a little child and you asked your father and mother to explain to you a simple thing, and they explained to us 100 times. You ask him, what is that? He said, that's a bird. Again you ask him, Daddy, what's that? He said, it's a bird. What is that? It's a bird. He explained to you, it's a bird. He took his time, he had patience, tolerance. Now when they're old, Allah forgive me, I'm the biggest culprit of this. I just hope my parents are not listening. I gave my first bayan, Mr. Mullah had put me in Anjuman school, whilst I was still doing the Alim course. And in 10 minutes, I rattled the whole Jummah bayan, all the hadiths I knew by heart finished. The topic was just, was obedience to parents. And unfortunately for me, my father was present in the gathering. Although I told him, please don't come because I'll be afraid. But after the bayan, he told me, practice what you preach. So I said, may Allah forgive me, may Allah give me the himmat to obey them. So don't scold them, because when they grow old, they will ask you the same thing a few times. And you'll say, I just told you now. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Tell them kind words. Then Allah says, Allah does not stop there. Allah says, spread. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلْ. And lower the wings of humility out of compassion for them. And you are supposed to make a dua for your parents. Wallah, have mercy on my mother and father. Have mercy upon them just as they had mercy when they nurtured me when I was small. They grew me up into a young man. Ya Allah, you have mercy upon them. It's a beautiful incident. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned in his tafsir of a son who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he complained about his father. He said, my father has usurped my wealth. He has taken all my money, my wealth. He's not giving me anything. He's using it on his sister or his family. All that wealth belongs to me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, call your father. Whilst he went to bring his father, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes and informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells him that when this father comes to you, then ask him to mention some couplets, some poetry that he had composed, and he has not mentioned that to any person. So when this person comes with his father, Ya Rasulullah, this is my father. So Rasulullah first asks him, what's the problem? Your son is complaining about you. Father just looks down. Then Rasulullah tells him, okay, tell me those couplets you have composed. Read it out to me. The father gets a shock of his life. Ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah, nobody knows about this poetry. I just composed it myself. Rasulullah orders him, come on, say this poetry. This is a long poetry, but just the gist of the poetry in Arabic. غَضَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا. He says, the father says, oh my son, when you were a little child, I gave you food to eat, I gave you water to drink. And there were many times when you were very sick, you had fever, you were gripped with fever, you were very sick. The entire night I remained awake because I was worried and concerned about your health as though I was gripped with fever. As though I was the one who's sick. And then I used to look after you, I gave you clothes, and I gave you everything, and I grew you up into a young boy. And I was just awaiting the day when you will now assist me, be kind to me, be obedient to me, help me. But instead you are giving me a kick, or you have just turned me away and you're being so hard on me and so harsh and so cruel. And the father sees a very touching couplet. And he says, oh my son, if you do not want to give me the rights that I deserve as a father, at least treat me like a neighbor. At least give me the rights of a neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the little boy, the boy by his collar. And he said, Anta wa maluka li abik. Go, you and your wealth belong to your father. Nothing belongs to you. And he has the full right to use your wealth as he wishes. The father had not usurped his wealth. But this boy was complaining unnecessarily. Nonetheless, ulama and scholars and fuqaha, this is a huge, there are many masail that come out from here in detailed explanation. The point I want to drive across is not the masail, but the fact that the father and the mother, the parents should be respected and obeyed at all costs. Except if they force you to do an act which is against the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'asiyati al-khaliq. There is no obedience of any to any makhluk and creation if Allah is going to be disobeyed. For example, the father insists that you must go and watch a movie or something. Then you don't obey the father. But then to you with kind words you explain to him. Sayyidina Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that when I was in Medina, my mother comes to visit me, wahiya mushrika. She was a disbeliever at that time. And at that time she had not yet embraced Islam. Later on she embraced Islam. So Asma radiallahu anhu comes to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, my mother has come to me, Qadimat Ummi, and she wants to meet me. Afa asiluha, should I join ties? Should I go and see her? Rasulullah said, Naam siliha, go and see her, be kind to her, even though she was a disbeliever. Now imagine how more important it is when we have believing parents, that we should spread our wings of mercy and compassion and respect them at all times. In the hadith is mentioned, رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ. The pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. And the displeasure of Allah is in the displeasure of the parents. When the parents are displeased with you, then Allah becomes displeased with you. In one hadith, Rasulullah said, Al-Walidu awsatu abwaabil jannah. The father, but Muhaddithin in the Shurah have explained, it's not only father, the parents are the middle door of Jannah. If you wish, in shi'ta fa'fadha, then preserve it. Look after it. By you preserving the door of Jannah means what? You will enter Jannah. How? By respecting your parents, obeying them. Wa in shi'ta dayya'ha. If you wish, you will destroy it. You will destroy it. Or destroy it if you wish. In other words, you won't respect your parents. And by doing so, you will not enter paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions so many other injunctions after that about feeding our close relatives and even the giving them the rights and even the orphans, even the musafir. And Allah talks about not wasting our wealth that we have. Why? Those who waste, those who squander their wealth, ikhwan al-shayateen, they are the brothers of shaitan. Brothers of shaitan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about spending. Person does not have something to give a poor person. Now, whatever he didn't have any means, so he shouldn't now be so distressed that now I didn't have anything. Kindly you send the beggar off, don't shout at him, etc. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't be such that you become such a miser that وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَى عُنُقِكَ. You put your hands and you tie it around your neck as though you don't want to part with your wealth. You're holding your wealth close onto your chest. Don't become such a miser. Don't become so niggardly. And don't become so generous. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. That you spend so much that you yourself become a pauper after that. And now you're begging from the people. Islam teaches to be moderate. So don't overdo, don't take extremes. And then Allah subhanahu talks about killing the children. In time of the Arabs, they would, the Jahiliyyah time, they would kill their children out of fear of poverty. Because so many children, what's going to happen now? In today's time, it's a more different way we see family planning. Allah protect us. Allah is the one who provides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. By you getting children, they come with their own rosy. Allah says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. We feed your children and we also feed you. By killing them, this is a very grave sin. Then Allah talks about don't go close to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Ulama Mufassirin say, Allah did not say don't commit zina. Don't even go near zina. All those things that will take a person to zina, refrain from it. Stay far away from it. And there are so many other injunctions about looking after yatim and not usurping the wealth of a yatim and giving the yatim his rights. And Allah also spoke about not having pride, not walking on the earth with arrogance. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. You drag your legs in such a way. Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. You're not going to tear the earth open. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا. By sticking your head and craning your head out and putting your chest out with pride and arrogance, you're not going to reach the asman in the skies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be humble and show humility. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned so many other beautiful verses. And then we did Surah Kahf. And just the brief tafsir of Surah Kahf is, there were a group of youngsters, seven of them. And they lived in a period where there was an oppressive ruler who forced them who commanded them to reject and denounce Islam. It's a long story that they had embraced Islam or they had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one, there was a festival that was taking place, but they were not feeling very happy. They were not at ease by seeing all the wrong things that were taking place. People were worshipping idols and worshipping everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah instilled in each one that iman, and each one comes under a tree, not knowing why the other youngster is there. After some time, seven of them are sitting under the tree. Then one takes the courage. Okay, we have come here. There must be some reason. And each one came for the same reason. They broke away from the rest of the people Because they brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The king comes to know and he gives them the next day, a chance the next day to renounce their faith. Otherwise he will kill them. And if they renounce their faith, then he'll give them plentiful of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَاسِيزُ. We made the heart strong and firm. إِذْ قَامُوا. They stood up. فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That our Allah is the Rabb of the skies and the earth. We will never associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek refuge, they move, and they seek refuge in a cave. And en route, there's a dog that joins them. And these are pious people. And Allah makes it such that the dog joins them. And each time they try to chase the dog away, it refuses, it follows them. Until this dog comes at the mouth of the cave, and it stretches its legs, and it protects them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept them in such a beautiful way there, that the sun's rays did not come directly onto their faces. They did not perspire in such a way after a person sleeps for very long, he'll have to wake up because of perspiration, or he'll get tired. Allah made them sleep for plus minus 309 years. And they were in this condition. Allah says, we would just turn their bodies here and there. Hunger did not wake them up. Nothing woke them up. But after 309 years, now suddenly they woke up. Now immediately first thing they are hungry. So they send one of them, take these coins, go to the market, but go quietly and bring some food. And make sure nobody makes you out. This person goes, he buys some food. When he comes to paying the money, he gives the coins. The seller looks at his coin and says, oh, where you got this very rare and ancient coins from? You must have stolen this from some treasure. So immediately he holds him, grabs him, and he calls the soldiers, and they take him to the king. Now there's a new king. That unjust ruler, he had died. And now there was a very pious king. And at that moment, there was a difference of opinion among some of the people. And they could not understand that after a person dies, how he will be raised again before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question of ba'ath. And this pious king tried to explain to them that this is our iman, our aqidah, that when we die, we will be raised again before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could not understand. Some of them could not understand this. So in any case, the king now, he makes some inquiries. They go to the cave and he see this, the remain of these boys, and they find out the entire incident. And then he embraces them. And they give them that honor and respect. And then the king explains to the people of his town that this is how Allah will raise you on the day of Qiyamah. And they all believed in firmly and they made the aqidah strong. Of course, then these boys passed away. And ulama explained that this whole Surah Kahf, there are so many important incidents here. But it is a topic on iman versus materialism. Iman against materialism. Our iman has to be strong, we have to be firm and stand and be courageous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to a person's assistance when his iman is strong and he stands up and he does not fear whatever will happen to him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor him. Imagine, right till this very day, we read about these boys, youngsters, the youth. Look at our youth today. If only they could understand Surah Kahf. May Allah give all of us the understanding. Then a person becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any person who recites Surah Kahf on a Friday, then he is protected right till the next Friday from every type of fitna. Even if Dajjal had to appear, he will be safe from the fitnas of Dajjal. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be nur from the person from his feet right till the heaven. And there's so many other blessings. If a person can't read the entire Surah Kahf, then the last 10 verses. So whatever we can read, inshallah, it is very noble that we read Surah Kahf on a Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from the fitnas of Dajjal. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.